Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Today, I want to talk about the blood covenant. The blood covenant. I don't know where to start from because time seems never to be enough. But I remember that Jesus preached all over, you know, preached for hours, preached for 3 days. But if I do that, I'll be arrested. Someone's going to call the cops on me. In Nigeria, we don't have cops. We have police. We even have super cops. First, what scripture did we read this morning? 1 Corinthians. Please give me back that scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. Now, I want you to pick your notes because I'm going to stay on this pulpit because I want to just teach. Now, this is Paul speaking here, and he said, that which I've received of the Lord. Now, please look at that sentence. That which I received of the Lord. Now, the question, the Holy Communion, as we know it, what Jesus did just before his death, was Paul there? No, think about it, because it's possible, you know, they've been changing people's names now. Maybe the guy was there. Was Paul there? Paul was preparing for his destiny to kill people. As at the time Jesus was sharing bread, there was a man somewhere sharpening knife and carrying AK-47. The guy didn't know anything about this event. But look at what he said. That which I've received of the Lord. That means it was the Lord Jesus that taught Paul about this. Personally. When Paul became a Christian, Paul went to Arabia for 3 years. Where the Lord began to teach him scriptures. And the scripture says in 2 John chapter 2, I think verse 20, says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That means there is a capacity within you to understand divine things. Even if you don't understand English, you can understand divine things. Glory to God. He said, that which I received from the Lord, that also I deliver to you. So the confirmation of this particular word was when he went to Peter. And Peter said, it's true. The day before he died, he gave us communion. See, when you read the Bible, sometimes it's good to read it in a story form. You will like it. Some of you are just so bent on finishing 10 chapters a day. At the end of the day, you don't even remember what you read. So it's good to read the Bible cover to cover. But try to understand what we're talking about. Paul said, that which I received, that from the Lord, that I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, if you read this rendition and read what is in the gospel, it's the same thing. He said, the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. The bread is symbolic of the word of God. He broke bread. The bread is symbolic of his body. He broke his body before the soldiers touched it. Oh, come on, are you still with me? Jesus broke his own body. He didn't allow, if anybody had touched it before him, it would have made it impure. He took his own body and broke it. And what did he say in verse 24? He said, when he had broken it, he gave thanks. You see what we're talking about? Thanksgiving again. Thanks. He gave thanks. He didn't approach God in the flesh. He didn't say, oh, because I am equal with God. He came before his Father, because when you are offering sacrifice, there are protocols that must be obeyed. And one of those protocols is thanksgiving. So this is an example of what he did. He took the bread and then he broke it. And as he broke it, my Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bless you, to honor you. I thank you for leading me to this point. When the due that man has owed will finally be paid. I thank you, my Father, for the grace that he supplied. And he began to thank God. That's what it means to give thanks. And then after he had done that, he gave it to them and said, take it. What did he say? He said, this is my This is my what? This is my body. Some of us, when we used to be flying up and down, collecting witchcraft, it was food we ate. I mean, now, in schools, they give them food, and then they begin to fly. People just develop wings and begin to fly. And somebody is a Christian and doesn't understand that this particular thing is an initiation rite. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is one law that once you negate it, it can render everything useless. What Jesus said is, as you take the of the body, you must be thinking of him. That's why he said, do this thinking of me. Next verse. 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. That means every time we partake of this, we are reminding the world that he died again. That he has died. It is the evidence on the earth that confirms to God that every nation will bend to him. It is the evidence, the token, a symbol we have put before him on the earth, that even Saudi Arabia will be saved. That France will be saved. That Spain will be saved. That all the corners of the earth will bend to Jesus. As long as there is one person on earth doing this in remembrance of him. Come on, are you seeing anything now? So if they like, let them continue to give birth to many children and have millions of children. One day, a day is coming. A day is coming. Nations will be saved in one day. But I want to show you something else. Because this message is tied to the blood covenant. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, the scripture tells us that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things. Look at this. He said, and to Jesus, give me verse 23. Verse 23, quickly. We have come to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, spirits of men like Kenneth E. Hagin, spirits of men like Apostle Babalola, spirits of men like Peter, like Paul, like the 12 apostles of the Lord. Men like Paul. Men like Apollos. Say, we have come to the spirit of just men that have been perfected. He said, and to Jesus. Jesus was the last on that list. Because after him, there's no other person. He said, and to Jesus, the mediator. What does it mean to be a mediator? To stand in between. God didn't use a prophet to establish the new covenant. He put Jesus in the middle between Moses and between Elijah. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. And the Bible says he combined those two and brought something new. So just the way he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, he also stood to mediate a new covenant. And to the blood of the sprinkling. Come on, say, I'm covered. He said, to the blood of the sprinkling. That blood, when it is sprinkled, it talks. It speaks better things than what? The blood of Abel. Better things. And we could come back and talk about better things. Amen. Because there are better things in store. Amen. There are better things in store. You may think what you need is a husband or children. What God is talking about is better things. Come on, say amen. God has better things in store for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me, and I want to show you a few things. Everything that God does in the New Testament, he has first replicated in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, for you to be accurate, you must see Christ revealed in it. There are certain things that are done in the Old Testament that are no more, as it were, relevant for us now. But when you see the interpretation of those particular practices, you understand what we are saying. Now, in the scriptures, in the book of Genesis, God was the first person to shed blood. when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, and I want you to pay attention. One of the ways you know the devil has gotten to an advanced point in your life is when your ears are no more tuned to discern the word of the Lord. But you can listen to a song like that, my brother, that sang rock. You just hear it once, you know all the lyrics. Who knows what I'm saying? You hear those secular songs once, you already know the beat. You know the song, you know the lyrics. But like this, Hebrews 12, 24 now, you need to cram it because it will not stay. Can you see the work of the devil? Now, let me tell you something. I want you to please pay attention. God was the first person to shed blood. When Adam sinned, what did he use to cover his nakedness? He used figs and trees. And when God came, he said no. God slew an animal. He shed blood. Then used the animal skin to cover them. And God said, in Romans, Paul was teaching us, he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no what? There is no remission of sins. And that's why even in the occult, when they want to replace one life with another, they shed blood. It's not just a Christian thing, it's a spiritual thing. Please understand this thing. So God was the first person, the first spirit, Kenny, to shed blood. But in the book of, I think it's Genesis chapter 4. I want to show you a mystery. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 to 4. Quickly, Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was what? A keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Give me John chapter 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? He gives his life for the sheep. That's why nobody can really reward a pastor. The primary role of a pastor is to lay his life down. The greatest pain of a pastor is when he's trampled upon by his own sheep. And yet he's not permitted to strike out in anger. So this is if you are called as a pastor, this is your punchline. Take the fall. This is why many people cannot be pastors' wives. Because they will watch their husband being messed up, being insulted. That you can. And you are yet, even God does not permit you to kill one and eat. So I will show you that I'm the man of God. I kill you and eat. Abel, prophetically, the first man on earth to offer sacrifice to God by blood was a shepherd. Jesus will come back many years later and say, I am the good shepherd. And he will stand and also lay his own life down. Who killed Abel? His brother. Who killed Jesus? His brothers. So right from the beginning, God was setting a model so that we understand there's nothing anybody can do. That's the way it's going to be. God already set the tone. But God was the first person to do it. Because any other thing done will be in the flesh. God, first of all, offered blood for the covering of the sins of Adam and Eve. That's why Adam is in heaven today. So if you are angry, because of Adam, that's why I'm doing all this. That's what you better be born again. The Adam is, he has taken pandedium this morning. Adam has taken tea. Whatever kind of milk they drink over there, he has taken it. So you make sure you are in God's good books. What Abel did, Pastor Kenny, was to reenact the blood covenant that God Almighty did for his parents when they sinned against him. And God loves it when people can capture moments. in the spirit. Abel was not there when God slew the first animal to cover their sins. But he was properly taught. He was a shepherd. And then his own brother, who was older, also probably knew the story. But nobody ever attempted that dimension of sacrifice since the first time God did it. So when you cannot see why God was upset at Cain. Because Cain gave God what he wanted. Abel gave God what God wanted. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I said? So it's not just to say, I gave God an offering. What does it require from you? If the will of God for you, for instance, is to be a minister of the gospel, and you decide to be a computer scientist, you gave God what you wanted, but not what you gave God what you wanted, not what he wanted. There's something God desires. I read the story of a woman, she's a medical doctor in the US, and after she began to serve the Lord, one day she stood before the Lord and said, If I never marry again, I am sold out to you. She got married. What was God just trying to tell her? What I want you to do for me, I need you in a place where I can be sure nothing will take away your attention and your focus from me. It's not just Abel. Moses. Pastor Kenny. Moses was born in the waters. You know, if he was in Nigeria, he would have been living somewhere around Oshogbo. And they would be dancing that annual thing. Say, this guy, I perceive he should be a prophet. Say, what do you mean? This is my destiny. The guy rose up as a prince. Trouble came. He became a shepherd. How do you make that transition? A man who wakes up in the morning and he has food on his table. A young prince like coming to America. How would you like to have your bath this morning? Upside down or on top? You know, they brush your teeth for you. They change your clothes. You don't wear clothes twice. You just do whatever you like. And all of a sudden, you have to learn. Because he didn't learn that one in the university. When there's a need for transition in your life, can you make that move? Moses started as a prince. He became a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he was the one that God used with the staff of a shepherd to lead God's people prophetically out of bondage. There is something about the pastoral ministry. There's something about the ministry of Jesus in our lives, where he is able to lead us, not just by telling you go there, but he walks with you on that journey. The shepherd doesn't always run too far off ahead of his sheep. Most of the time, he's always in front of them. It was also the shepherd that God gave the Ten Commandments, and he said to them, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he gave them some of those laws that we know today and we memorize. But it was also Jesus that also came, another shepherd, and he said, a new commandment I give to you. So Jesus had the power of attorney, the power, the jurisdiction to summarize everything Moses said into two laws. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, that's another subject for another day. Before Moses was able to leave Egypt, and you know, Egypt in the scripture refers to the land of bondage. Egypt is where everyone who is not born again is. Before he was able to leave Egypt, they offered sacrifices. You remember in scripture where he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So God requires sacrifices to be made. Just the same way Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. I'm talking about blood covenant. If you don't understand what I'm telling you, it won't be Satan speaking ill or talking down on what God has done. It will be you. Because everything that God has done, everything that Jesus has done, was first replicated in a blueprint. It's just like when you, as an architect, you want to raise a 10-story building. You first build it on paper. You create, there's something they call it, like a caricature, a kind of model. A floor plan. You create a floor plan, and everybody can say, oh, by the time we are done, this is what this building is going to look like. That was what God did with Abel. Just the same way the scripture said, the Son of God had been crucified before the foundations of the earth. That was the same way the idea of redemption and remission, when God covered Adam and Eve, was first a God idea. And just the same way the righteous Abel, his blood spoke, that is the same way the blood of Jesus speaks, but he's speaking better things. There is nothing in the Old Testament, even if you've never read the New Testament, if you read the Old Testament with the veil removed, you will see Jesus. Come on, I say you will see Jesus. So before they left Egypt, they offered some sacrifices. After that sacrifice, Kenny, there was nothing Pharaoh could do again. The people of God must go out. Yeah. That was the final punch. That was the final punch. When Jesus stood on the cross and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and the last blood from his body was shed, there was nothing Satan could do to keep you back in Egypt. There was nothing. If you stay in Egypt, it's because you didn't pack your bags. If you stay in that situation, it's because you don't have a revelation knowledge of what has been done. What that means is that as far as the heavens are concerned, you are already free. Come on, say amen. Amen. After the blood was shed, give me Exodus 24, 6 to 8. Exodus 24, 6 to 8. Now, this may not be your regular kind of message, but you need it. Because there's something that is called conceptual clarification when writing a thesis or a dissertation. Conceptual clarification or theoretical framework. What is the basis for this particular thesis you are writing? If you cannot prove that, you have no project, you have no thesis, you have no dissertation, you have no, in fact, write it in French, you have nothing. Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant. You see, O.C. Daniel. He didn't open the book until he had sprinkled their hearts. Until their heart had been textured. Until the altar of your heart has been textured with blood. Until the finished work of Christ now has gained, that reality has taken over your heart. If you read the scripture, it will not make sense. Because those realities will be hidden from you. He said, and he read it in the audience of the people, and they all said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, and please understand that Moses prophesied and said that a prophet like unto me shall the Lord raise amongst you, and unto him shall the guardian of the people be. So Moses was the Old Testament model of a Christ, because he brought people out of bondage and brought them into Canaan. Yes, Moses was in Canaan. He died on the mountain, but then he raised you, Kenny. Then he raised in camp. Then he raised you, and he raised you, and raised me, and raised Agnes, and raised Pastor Omi, and raised Johnson, and said, now you are my Joshua generation. Lead these people. I will go ahead to wait for you. I will go ahead. Some are saying, where is the hope of his coming? Is Jesus really real? Is he real, or is he a figment of our imagination? A day will come. If Jesus tarries and we all live so long, but a day will come. When we are on that bed and we are about to cross over, there will only be a song on our lips. Only one song. In fact, some of you, before you die, the heavens will be open and you will begin to see him. And then you will know that, wow, that this thing is indeed real. That all the things you have been laboring for here, master's degree, PhD, PhD, post-PhD, professorial, post-professorial, and all the CCNA, CCMP, give me them certificates, ACCA, ACCP, ACPP, PPO, Super Cup, give me them, Sam. Give me them, PC, and the other PPP, every other thing you can think about. Every other thing you pursued because there was a veil that kept you from the reality of the other realm. That if truly you knew of the reality of that realm, there was only one thing you should have pursued, is glory. The Lord, he said, behold the blood of the covenant. So this was exactly what Jesus was reading to them when he said, this is my blood. What he was saying is, behold the blood of the covenant. It is not just a blood. It is the blood of covenant. That means everyone who partakes of it comes into covenant with me. So it is no more Trinity. It is no more Trinity. We are the fourth man in the company. We are the fourth man in the fire. Here, we are not alone. We are four now. Everyone, the human race represented by you. You are there. You are there. It's not when they want to decide next time, you will be there. Because the moment you share blood with someone, you have come into equality with that person. That's what it means to be married. Whether you are 70% and she's 30%, once you marry, you become one. So he gave us the right to be like him. For as he is in this world, so are we. Because you are perfect? No, because of blood. It's a blood covenant. When the devil tells you, when they say to you, we are going to finish you, we are going to take you out, we are going to knock you out, we are going to finish, we are going to mess you up, tell them, I am purchased by blood. Now, don't say it like a Christian, because they won't understand. They will think you are quoting Bible. If you can say it in your language, tell them, I am a child of blood. I am a covenanted child. The powers that live in me will destroy you if you don't back up. Now, people seem to understand threat. People seem, they say, no, I can't say 2 Corinthians chapter 3. They're already a Christian. When you say, I'm a child of blood, I am covenanted. There are seven spirits living on the inside of me. You may not survive this thing you have started. Then the person, are you threatening me? Yeah, it's your choice. It depends on you. Verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70. Now you can see that there is a corporate entry as a body or even as a local church that we cannot enter into until the hearts of men have been sanctified. Then the leaders and the pastors will ascend before the Lord. Because if we show up now, what God is going to ask us, Kenny, is, what about the people? Why their hearts not sanctified? Why didn't you tell them about my blood? Why didn't you tell them it is a blood covenant? It's not just something you drink like Ribena and sprinkle. I don't know. It's the blood covenant. It is not a symbol. It is a blood covenant. That the blood of Jesus flows in your vein. And Jesus said, if you partake of this blood, he said, then you are part of the new covenant. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Come on, say, I'm part of the new covenant. Come on, say, the blood of Jesus flows in my veins. I am covenanted. And I share in his bloodline. Grace and peace. No, I think it should be First Peter. First Peter 1, 2. He says, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, peace be multiplied. A lot of things that many of you are doing, you are hoping, you are speculating, they are tied to the blood of the sprinkling. If that revelation is there, grace is not supplied. Peace is not supplied. Because the scripture says he is our peace. Who has broken down the middle walls of partition. But that's because of the blood. So when the devil tries to tell you that you are rejected, tell him you are elected. Say amen. You tell him you are elected, and you are elected on certain grounds. The first ground is by the foreknowledge of God the Father. That means that you are in Christ today, that you are seated inside this auditorium today, is because you have been elected. God didn't discuss with anybody. He didn't ask Satan also, what do you feel? And Satan said, you know, she's very yellow. Give this one to me. You take all the blacks, I take all the yellows. Elect according to the foreknowledge. Before knowledge began, God selected you in Kem, and then selected you Tobe, and selected you AY, and selected you Busayo, and said, all these ones, they are my own. So your righteousness in God today is not simply because you chose him, it's because he chose you. If that does not do anything to your self-esteem, if you feel good the day you wear your makeup and go out, and you feel sad the day you forgot to wear your makeup, there's something wrong. You don't understand this message. If you don't have anything to wear to church, wear your bedroom slippers. Just show up. If it does anything, if you feel less of yourself, if you feel less of yourself simply because you cannot dress the way your colleagues are dressing, and you now went to collect loan from those people that you use their app to collect money. I didn't say nothing, bro. And I didn't take any loan. If you get a call about me, it's not me. Or like my friend would say, it wasn't me. You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, without recourse to Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, Angel nobody. God didn't discuss, say, what do you think about Johnson? No. It was a decision in his own mind. So that is the first thing, because the devil tries to tear away the layers of your acceptance. The devil wants you to know that you are not perfect. But tell him, oh boy, you are rejected, I'm elected. You are rejected. You are just a servant, I'm a son in the house. There's a difference. I'm a son in the house. Even though I don't know my rights, even though I'm not reading Bible, even though I'm not praying, even though I don't speak in tongues, even though I'm still arguing whether I should pay tithe or not, I am a son in the house. The second thing is the sanctification of the Spirit. You are elect according to the sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? You said? I wanted to give you the mic. Sanctification of the Spirit. When Jesus left, he gave us another comforter exactly like himself, which means that everything Jesus did, the Holy Spirit can do. You don't need to see him physically. How does Jesus wash us? By the washing of water by the word, through the Spirit. Why is it that there are certain things that are not really sins? They are not sin. They are not in the Bible that they are sin. But the Holy Spirit does not allow you. It's because he sanctifies you. There is one of the names of God in the Jewish, is called the Lord our Sanctifier. That's the Holy Spirit. Through the sanctification, look, anybody can decide to cohabit. Anybody can decide to live a wayward life. And it's your life for Christ's sake. So you think. But there is a reason why even when you are alone, you feel a bit uncomfortable with sinning. Because there is the sanctifier. His ministry makes you uncomfortable with everything that is not God. That's the second thing. The third thing there is unto obedience. We are elect unto obedience. And this is not just about not trying to sin. This is about not sinning because you love him. Why do we obey him? Because we love him. Why do you call your wife? Or why do you spend some time with her? And why do you do all the things you do? Because you love her. Love is not when you are in a relationship with somebody. Love is when you marry. Because now you have the person in front of you. And there's something that a problem that men usually have. you know, after some time, your brain starts working anti-clockwise. So the measure of a man, Osi Daniel, is not love. It's not buying gift. It's faithfulness. That's the measure of a man, faithfulness. So I'll come back and tell you the one for women. A few people encourage me. But I think you people are already okay. You ladies don't usually have a problem. It's mostly the guys, right? Yeah. It's mostly the guys. The big boss man. There's one guy, big boss, in wrestling, WrestleMania in those days. If you may not know him, don't worry. Some of us were professional boxers and wrestlers in those days. We know all the fighters. We know Ultimate Warrior. And we know Hulk Hogan. We know those ones, Agbalagba, who tears his shirt. Every time he comes into the ring, he has to tear his shirt. And he has children at home. He tears his shirt. Tears his shirt. Agbalagba, tears his shirt. And then he will do like this. Do like this. People now, hey, hey. I didn't know all those things were comedy. I used to feel so bad when my champion loses the match. I was in Nigeria crying for somebody that was making money. I beg, let us talk about the covenant. Say we are elect by the sprinkling of the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? That when a woman standing before the Lord and God wants to confirm your ordination and God wants to confirm your selection, the sprinkling of the blood. That sprinkling doesn't just wash you. It marks you. It marks you. That wherever you go from that in the realm of spirit, they can see God's seal of ownership over you. Now, whether you know it or not is another thing. Because the challenge we have mostly is that we don't even know how far God went to get us to this point. That's why you see a man of God that understands just a little thing like this. And he looks like a wonder. But it's something that is given to all of us. Say to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And after he said that, he began to talk about grace. The multiplication of grace. The multiplication of ability. Divine ability. The ability to do what others cannot do. The ability to prosper in spiritual things. He began to talk about grace. Grace is divine ability. The power to walk on water. The power to make the cripples rise again. The power to break curses. Divine abilities multiplied. Come on, say amen. Amen. Come on, say divine abilities multiplied in me. Come on, say multiplied in me. Give me that scripture. I believe it's in where we have Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 29. That's where Jesus gave us of his blood and of his body. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. And then he broke it. What did he do first? He blessed it. And then what? He broke it. And gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, for this is my body. Now, question, did Jesus say it looks like my body? Did Jesus say it's representing my body? Now, what you ate was bread and butter. Or the bread you got from the Agege woman behind your house. But when Jesus blessed it, I'm telling you why people partake of the communion and they can get healed. There are churches, people took communion, cripples started walking. Blind started seeing. Because the moment you pray over it, is you in your carnal mind that sees it as bread. Jesus said, let's just use this one to represent what we are trying to. He wasn't trying to explain anything. He was telling them, this is my body. The moment you partake of it, you become part of my body. By this blood covenant, we are now one. If anything touches you, I will feel it where I am. It's not your prayer now. Hey, they want to kill me. No. Anything, say whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Whoever touches you, he will feel it. Somebody is doing something to me. Where is in camp? He will feel it. The connecting point. That's the connecting point between you and him. But if Peter that day has stood up and said, Oga, I'm older than you. I know you are anointed. But let us do this thing with respect. I am 36, you are 33. Let me pray on this thing and then you can share. If you ate the one Peter gave you, it's you and Peter, you have gone. Look how he said. He said, this is my body, verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye. Please, give me New King James here. Give me New King James. New King James, quickly. Or NIV. The moment New King James decides to travel, don't wait for him. Move to the next person. Huh? For, no, verse 27. Aha. Now, this thing still looks like King James. They just changed the version. Give me Amplified. Quickly. Amplified never disappoints. Okay. This ACSB is looking like one Liberian book that I saw somewhere. But he took the cup
and gave thanks.
And gave it to them.
Saying, Drink from it. All of you.
Now, when he did this, please confirm, was Judas still in that meeting? Confirm. Was Judas still in that meeting? No, check. I want to say something. Sometimes people just want me to say, Father, bless them. Let's look at how the blessing is coming. The legal presentation that guarantees that you will get blessed is what I'm showing you. That every time we say be blessed, it is the blood that is speaking to confirm it. Was it after then Judas left? Who is checking for me? Was it there as at this time? Who said no? You said no. Did you check it? It was after they took it that he said, "Some one of you will betray me." Eh? Check the Bible in your hand. Was it part of this experience? Now, was it part of this experience? The meaning of that is that if Judas had waited for Jesus to rise from the dead, because he was already a part of Jesus, the pain of the disappointment was not because it was Judas, it was because it was a part of him that sold him out. If there was an opportunity for Judas to repent, that would have been the moment. Say, Master, I don't collect money. Now dollars, so $30,000. No, what are we talking about here? As I then, as I now, $5 million. Now here I collect for your head, though. Yes, sir. I beg, see the money, I don't do again. Oh yeah, share. Let's even pay salaries. You people have been following me. We've not given you people. Share money. I will still die, but share the money. That is why Paul said, we do not drink unworthily. every time the communion is about to be given is the perfect time to confess your sins. The moment somebody stood like he was part of us, hear this thing I'm sharing with you. The moment somebody stood like he was part of us, partook of the communion like he was part of us, he had to be exposed. Whatever can make you keep this kind of thing in your heart, and you still sat with me and ate with me, we have to expose you. You can kill. And he killed, though. The man killed. When you are not sure about where you stand with people, break bread with them. It's a spiritual thing. Break bread with them. After them, whether they want to hide or not, you will start seeing things. Some of you don't know how these things are. Say, God revealed to me. How? We broke bread. He said, go back to verse, give me King James again. Go back to verse 27 and 28. He said, drink ye, all of you, I want you to partake. Because if there's one of you that does not partake of this, I will not be part of you. Verse 28. Why do I want all of you to partake? Because this is my blood. It's not Ribena. We might have bought it from Mama Sidi behind the house here. He said, but this is my blood. What I am giving to you, my gift to you, my talking to you, my covenant with you is my blood. I'm taking my blood and I'm putting it in your hands. Every time there's an accusation against you, against your life, speak the blood. That's what I'm giving to you. Say, for when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I didn't say you didn't do it. I didn't say you didn't do it. I know you did it. But you have a token with you. It's my blood. Say, and when you pray, when the angel of death comes and releases his sword, just put the blood like this. It will another day. Every time the angel of death is released, because people are asking, how do I fight my battles? People are dying in my family. How do I take control of what is going on? The blood. When the angel came from heaven, he could not go back without taking life. When the angel came, he came to Goshen. Everybody there with blood. Every day with blood. Over their household. Blood. He said, people are dying in my house. The blood that he gave to you, he said, drink all of it. He said, present it. Oh yeah, present it. Over your family. If there was somebody that was a serial fornicator. Serial fornicator. But he came into your house as you were apportioning the blood on your doorpost, the angel will not touch him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hope you know. Yes, that night that the angel of death came, he has been running. And then he was singing, don't lock your door, I'm coming, no. Don't lock your door. Benga, Mosa, Wonurelo, Mosa, Wonurelo, ah, Pata. And just, he just pulled the door, just enter. The angel said, that is how potent the blood is. It's like a house. Once you come into it, you are kept safe. We will fix you, but you come in first. 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 Say, come, all of you. All of you who are thirsty, who are hungry. Come, come, come. The moment you rack my lawole, just get in. We know you are in sin, but the blood was shed for you. We didn't shed this blood for righteous people. Oh, yeah. We didn't share this blood for people who think they are okay. Just come in first. Come in. The moment the blood comes over you, you will be untouchable to the death that is outside. But something also happens to you, see, Daniel. You come out a brand new man. You leave Egypt that night. You leave that bondage that night. You leave those curses. Everything that you saw in Babylon, that you saw in Egypt, everything that you saw that told you that you will never leave this place, every affliction, every frustration, every disappointment, that night, the scripture said they partook of the bread. In that story, in Goshen, the Bible said they partook of the bread on their feet. Because the Lord said, this night, you are leaving this place. This night, that affliction is over. This night, as you partake of this bread and you anoint the doorpost with the blood, this night, the day will not break unless you leave this place. That's how potent the blood is. It's a covenant. Satan understands it. Satan fears it. When we partake of the Holy Communion, we are standing just the way the Israelites stood on that night in Goshen. They partook on their feet. God said, you must eat this one standing. If there's any bag you have, pack it now. Because once we eat this thing, you are not sitting again. You are going into your freedom. You are going into your liberty. You are securing the destiny of your nations, of your family. It is a blood covenant. A covenant between you and your maker. Say, we will take it standing. We won't sit. We won't sit. And when the enemy tries to negotiate and say, leave your children. You expect, take your deliverance, but leave your grandchildren. Let them suffer. Say, no. No. Moses said, we will go with our children. We will go with, even those that are unborn, we will go with them. I don't know what their names are, but as I provoke this covenant, I go out with all of them. The same battles that I fought, they won't have to fight it. Oh, the same places where I fell, my children won't fall there. Oh my God, I wish I was prophesying to somebody. Garabakatenia makasadia. The cross, that is where every debt is paid. That is where every bill is paid. When you get to the cross, when you partake of the blood, when you partake of his body, you are saying, my master went into the ground. But the scripture said, when he died, I died with him. But because he did not stay in the grave, as he arose, I also arise with him. But the Jesus that went into the ground was not the same that came out. This one that was put on the cross, they nailed him. He shed tears. Nobody to help him. But when he was about to rise, it was an angelic battalion that was sent. And when he got to the stone, everyone standing at the stone, saying that he will not rise, they fell as dead. When he died, he was without assistance. But when he was about to rise, the angelic beings, they stood on their guard. And they cursed every soldier. Everyone putting a question mark on your destiny. Everyone putting a question mark on the word of the Lord. Everyone putting a question mark and saying, look, you will not leave this place. You will not be married. You will be here in Egypt forever. Everyone that has made negative proclamation. When the angel came, everybody slept. Come on, I said everybody slept. Everybody slept. By the time they woke up, the stone had been rolled away. Oh my God, I'm prophesying to somebody. I said the stone was rolled away. One man could not have pushed that stone away. It was an angel that pushed it away and sat on it. He sat on it. Say, I sit on your enemy. He sat on it. The next time the devil tells you your mom will not live long. The next time the devil tells you or is tormenting you in a dream and says something will happen to you and you will be cut short in the midst of your year. Tell him. The blood speaks. But it's not speaking what you are saying. It's speaking better things. It's speaking long life. It's speaking the word of the Lord. It's speaking covenant. It's speaking ownership. I belong to God, regardless of where I'm coming from. I belong to God. There's a seal of ownership over my life. It's not because of what I did, but because of what he did. I am who I am in Christ. Because of what he did, that is how I know I am free. Glory to God. Today, I present to you the one that we know as the word of the Lord. Revelations 19 and verse 11 to 16. I want to show you Jesus. I want to show you Jesus. Revelations 19:11. And I saw the heavens opened, and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. That's his name. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. 13. And he was clothed, with a vesture. The cape of his garment was soaked in his own blood. It was dipped in blood. The name of this man is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. When the blood comes together with the Word of God, listen to me, look at it. He said he was dipped in blood. His vesture. He was sitting on his horse. But his vesture, dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. He was leading his army to victory. But when he comes, before you see him, you will see this one. The blood. In the name of the blood, we conquer. In the name of the blood, we conquer. When you see him, he says, vesture was dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven, they followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. They followed him, they were white, but he was struck with blood. When Jesus came forward, his army behind him were pure, because he is the house. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are saved. He stood before his people, but he was covered in blood. Have you seen Jesus in that form? Covered in blood, his clothes dipped in blood, but his sons and daughters behind him, they were white and they were clean. What a mighty God that we serve. There is no charge against God's elect. There is no charge against God's elect. Oh, Baraka Tali Makaza, give me verse 15. And out of his mouth came forth a sharp sword, that with it it will smite the nations, and it will rule them with a rod of iron, and it treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. Verse 16. And he had on that same vesture that was dipped in blood, and on his thigh. I know you love to tattoo, but you should hear this one. I know you love to tattoo, but you should hear this one. On his thighs, there was a tattoo there. It was written, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings, the King of all civilizations, the King of every life, the Lord and the Owner. The Lord and the Owner. He is the Lord and the Owner of everyone that breathes on earth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let all angels prostrate fall. Fling wide, bring wide his royal banner and crown him Lord of all. Come on, guys. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Sataina Kabayaga. Cross denied the same blood that he had identified with. Peter took of the blood and took of the bread, and Jesus said, you are now part of me. But after then, he saw a woman and he denied himself. He denied the master through whom's blood he was purchased, but he managed to stay alive. He managed. He backslided. If you are truly born again, to backslide is not very easy. I'm telling you. When you are really born again, to backslide is not easy. Because when you have consumed something, you have eaten someone's flesh, that thing is inside of you. It's inside your blood. When Jesus woke up, where did he go to? He went to look for his missing part. There's a part of me that has become a fisherman. There's a part of me that is no more doing the work I sent him. And Jesus went to the rivers and he saw Peter. And he restored Peter. And he now said, I am not like man that will judge you and abandon you. I have judged you, I have acquitted you, and I will trust you again. I say, you that fell and denied me. No greater sin in the scriptures is like denying the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, you that denied me, I'm going to give you an opportunity to lead my people into victory. And he anointed, he didn't choose John. John didn't sin. He chose the one who sinned. And on the day of Pentecost, it was this same Peter that stood and said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Listen to me. This service, we have waited on the Lord and we have prayed for 30 days. Whatever we do today seals it forever. Come on, say amen. Whatever we do today, as we partake of the blood and we partake of his body, we seal our prayers forever and your testimonies in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.